Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Sales Intel show, The Pipeline Pioneers, where our mission is to provide the nuggets from the experts, from the practitioners, from the leaders to help companies build very strong revenue pipeline, because pipeline is the heart and blood of an organization. At Sales Intel, we believe that generating pipeline is a team sport, and it's not just the sales leader or the BDR or the marketing organization. It truly takes a village. It takes a village to generate the pipeline for the company. Today, I'm excited to welcome Udi from Gong on the show. Udi, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Manoj. I'm excited to be here today.
That's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. Udi, let's spend a minute or two and give us a quick intro to our audience about yourself. Although you are very popular being a CMO of Gong, the man who built the Gong brand, the category, but I think the audience will benefit from a quick intro and how in your role as a chief evangelist, you know, you contribute to the Gong's pipeline generation.
Yeah, happy to run through that. So I was originally born and raised around Tel Aviv, Israel. So that's where I'm originally from. And then I started working for Gong 7.5 years ago in Tel Aviv. And when we were growing and realized that we need the talent pool and the proximity to our customers and partners and other stakeholders here on the West Coast, I packed up the family, my husband and 3 children. We moved to San Francisco, where we've been living for the last 5.5 years. I was marketer number one and employee number 13 at Gong. It was my 5th marketing leadership position, and I was fortunate to lead the marketing team up until 1 year ago. So for over 6 years, I led the marketing team. Got to see us grow from 11 customers to over 4,000 customers and from 13 employees to 1,300 employees. And of course, from almost zero revenue to hundreds of millions. So it's been a really rewarding journey so far. And a year ago, I transitioned into my current role of chief evangelist, which is an extension of marketing at Gong, where I get to work with industry influencers, get on executive alignment calls with some of our biggest customers and prospects, to show them some of the more advanced uses of revenue intelligence and how it can help their business. And I get to travel the world doing speaking opportunities at conferences, webinars, and podcasts like the one we're doing today.
Congratulations. Such an amazing story. And you've seen Gong grow from being nothing to a category leader today here. So congratulations on the job. Very well done. Udi, you know, last year was tough, right, for a lot of companies. And along the way, we made a lot of mistakes. Is there anything that jumps out from last year to say, I wish I had not done that, or I wish I had done more of that, that you have learned, hindsight being 2020?
So last year was not the most fun year for anyone. And for Gong, it was definitely more challenging than before. Knock on wood, I think the worst is behind us, and we're already seeing in recent quarters that things are getting much better. Unlike many companies in the space, we continued to grow throughout last year, despite all the challenges. We continued to grow, and this year is going to be back to even more significant growth. I think one of the things that I see companies doing, where we did it to a small extent, but could always be better, is ignoring the 95-5 rule, which means that at any given time, about 95% of your target accounts are not in market for a solution like yours, and only about 5% are in market for a solution in your category. Sometimes it's 7, sometimes it's 10, it doesn't matter. The idea remains. And what that means for marketers, especially creating pipeline, is that if all you're doing is putting out sales offers, then you're spending all your marketing budget on the 5% that are in market right now. And there's usually more efficient ways of converting them with direct sales efforts once you know who those are. And you should definitely put some marketing dollars behind them. But the mistake that companies make is not allocating enough budget for the other 95%. Because here's what happens. If I'm one of those 95%, if I'm not in the market for what you're selling this year, Manoj, and I keep seeing your sales ad over and over, I'm going to unsubscribe from your emails. I'm going to unfollow your social channels. And then you've lost the right to communicate with me. Whereas the companies who do this right, they realize that 95% of the audience is not in market right now. So you cannot be constantly bombarding them with sales offers. You need to provide them with valuable content, with event experiences, with valuable content that they can use to get better at their jobs and become a thought leader and a credible partner to them, so that in 6 months or 12 months after they've been following you and getting all this content and value from you, now that I'm ready to raise my hand, I will come to you because you're the first name I think of. And that's the biggest mistake that I see companies make. Even at Gong, we had to cut down some of the brand awareness marketing and some of the upper funnel brand content. We didn't cut a lot of it, but we did. And I've seen companies that completely cut that stuff. And it's going to be much harder for them to get back up right now because they've lost a lot of their audience that didn't want to hear about their sales offers anymore.
I'm with you. You know, one is a shorter term and other one is long term. And, you know, the farther the rewards, the more difficult it becomes for someone to make a decision and make those investments, right? But if you have been around building companies and in the executive role, you know, building businesses is a long-term game. You know, it isn't an overnight.
Exactly. Success. Especially in SaaS, because we only have so many customers who are going to buy this quarter. Just maybe another 30 seconds on that. If you think about it, large organizations where most B2B software companies sell into, they change their big software products and even hardware products about once in 5 years, right? They're not going to change their CRM system or phone system or HR system any more often than that. So if you believe that they change about every 5 years, that means that in 1 year, about 20% of the market changes their system. Divide that into four quarters, and that's where you get the 5%. That's 5 times 4 is 20, times 5 years is 100%. So at best, there's only about 5% of your market that's changing or looking for a system like yours right now. And if you only focus on them, you're wasting a lot of your budget on an audience that's just not interested in what you're selling right now. Yeah. And so you have to look at that longer term, because that's what your audience, that's what your market is really doing. It's not just your decision, like, who do I want to sell to? It's who is in market for my product, for what I'm selling right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in today's world, when you have tools available like intent data, right, it becomes that much more easier to concentrate your offers to those 5%. So couldn't agree more with you. Uri, we are here in 2024. What are you most excited about? You know, everybody's making new bets. Everybody's experimenting something new to build a stronger pipeline. What is one thing that you are excited at Gong?
I'm excited that the challenges of the last year have forced us to go deeper and analyze who's buying from us, why are they buying from us, why are they staying with us, and unfortunately, sometimes why they leave. And we have a much better understanding of that, which will allow us to pinpoint our demand gen efforts at a surgical precision this year. I'll give you one example. Like many customers, we had more churn than desirable in the last year. And one of the things that our internal data team found was that when certain personas, I won't get into the details, but when certain personas are actively using Gong, their churn rate as an account goes down by 70%. So there are two or three specific personas that we found that if they use Gong, churn goes down 70%. So that is a very desirable thing for us to get, to make sure that Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so are using Gong at every account. So now we can go and create content and create events and create ads and demand gen campaigns and track how these specific personas are purchasing Gong and then using Gong, and look at account health from the perspective of these specific personas. So I know that that's going to make us a lot better this year.
Got it. So more analytical in customer acquisition, right? The new customer acquisition, new
pipeline retention.
And retention based off of the numbers that you're seeing, based off the behavior that you're seeing in terms of usage of product and the outcomes.
Exactly.
That's great. That is great. I think the more, and because we have to do more with less. And how do you do more with less in these years when you become more and more analytical? That's awesome.
I would push back on the do more with less. I get a rash when I hear do more with less, because it's physically impossible, right? If you got, you know, 1 pound of flour, you can only make so much pizza. You can't make more pizza with less flour. It doesn't work. Uh-huh. But I would argue that we can do better with less.
Yes.
We can't do more, but we can do better. And so that's what we've been focusing on, doing better with less. And I suggest that mind frame shift for some of us to focus on doing better.
Yeah. I think your point there, Rudy, you know, in the past years, we all let some of the, you know, a bag of pound, half of that go waste. So the end result was that inefficient use of the bag of flour, right, to make the pizza. Now we are that much more focused on ensuring that not an ounce of that flour goes to waste, but everything gets to.
I agree. And if anything, a lot of us, many of us, were probably doing too many things even before the recent crisis.
Yeah.
And getting back to basics and focusing on the vital few things and doing them better is probably the surer way of winning than trying to do even more with less.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Do better with
with less. Yes,
with less. Yes, absolutely. So with that, Woody, I would love to have an exercise here with you, an interactive exercise. You have 100 pennies, right?
Growth comes in many flavors. I wish I had 100 pennies.
What's that?
I wish I had 100 pennies.
Well, in this world, in this virtual world, you have 100 pennies, and each of this coin is worth 10 cents. As we know, growth comes in many flavors, right? There's no one right answer, right? We as executives, we as leaders, practitioners, get to figure out where to place our bets to generate the most impactful pipeline for our organization, right? So in this exercise, you have 100 pennies, and here are a couple of growth channels. If you had 100 pennies this year, where would you allocate to generate the best pipeline for your team?
Based on what's been working for us and how I see that evolving, I would probably split it as follows. I would put 5 of those coins in sales-led growth because we've built a predictable machine.
Mm-hmm.
We have an amazing sales and SDR team, and they have the best data and they have the best sales stack. I heard they use a tool called Gong, which really allows them to be productive, predictable, and efficient.
Yeah.
And then the rest I would divide between, one of them I would put in partnerships because we have a growing partnership team that is giving us more predictability and more pipeline, working with some of the top system integrators and sales consulting firms in the world. So that's working really well. Then the final 4, I would put 1 on events, which have been working very well for us.
Yep.
I would put 1 on brand,
yep,
which, as many know, has been working very well with us. And the remaining 2 in marketing, which creates up to 40% of our pipeline and revenue, using also brand and events as part of that. But that's kind of the division that I would describe as that. I would say that the ones I did not put any on, product-led growth is just not something that Gong does intentionally. Our product is an enterprise sales motion, so you can't really self-discover it, self-purchase it, or self-onboard yourself. So the product itself does not propel to other teams quite as easily. Customer-led growth is something that we tried and did not work well, which is a little surprising. And I don't know many great B2B success stories with customer referrals because Gong has one of the highest NPS scores in the industry, but we have not been able to scale customer referrals so that they propel and create some sort of meaningful network effect. And I would say founder growth is something that we don't need at this stage because we have 1,300 employees. We have over 4,000 customers. Luckily, we're not depending on any single human being, whether it's our founder or our chief evangelist or anyone else at Gong. Any one of us is replaceable at this point, and we have a very well-oiled machine that can operate independently of any individual.
That's a great, just 1 30-second on founders-led. What do you think of companies like Apple, where they were like in the earlier days of Apple, because Steve Jobs led growth, or you know, Elon Musk led growth at Tesla. Is there something to that, or you think it's over-indexed?
I mean, it's doable, but if you look at Apple as a good example, they reached the height of their valuation well after Steve Jobs left this world. Yeah. So he definitely built something bigger than himself. The question remains around Elon Musk and some of the others, like if they leave, what happens to the brand? I mean, we also saw the opposite. When he came into Twitter, he killed the value that was in that company and brought them down to the ground. They were doing decently before he came in. So that goes both ways. But at Apple, Steve Jobs did many wonderful things, and he built a company that is much bigger than the person that he was, as big as he was, larger than life. And it's doing well and reached its peak valuation right now. You could argue that it's lost some of its magic and maybe lost, some people say that's lost some of their innovation and spirit when he departed. But you can't argue with the numbers, and the company has peaked in value in the years following Steve Jobs' era.
Great to hear your views on that. So now let's look at how the community, without your data, has distributed their bets or placed their bets or put their pennies. This is what the community looks, about 350 or so folks, right?
Not too far.
And I'm going to overlay, you know, you're very, very close. So I'm going to overlay your data on this.
Oh, wow.
So you can see how you stack up against the community. Does this surprise you, Udi, in any way?
No. Hey, it goes to show you that great minds do think alike. I mean, I don't mind, and I'm kind of used to being contrarian and having different views. So I'm not afraid of having them. But in this case, sometimes best practices do actually work, despite the many jokes about them. So it seems like the community here really appreciates the value of sales and marketing as the top two channels, and brand as maybe the third one. Yeah. And then I see that I gave a little more weight than some of the others gave to partnerships and events. And I see that some other community members thought that product-led growth would work for them, which is great. It's just not the case for Gong. As well as community-led growth and some other hidden channels there. So overall, I think there's a really good overlap between what's been working for Gong and other great SaaS companies.
Absolutely. Well, you are in line with the community, right? There's no outlier as such. You know, sales-led, you know, in the recent interviews that I've been having or calls that I've been having, more of the leaders are trying to experiment away from sales-led growth, right? And put money in whether events or brand or some areas. But it's great to hear from you that it's a proven, tried and tested method, and you're doubling down in 2024.
I think, you know, I want to make sure nobody goes away with the message that there's one way or a best way of growing a company. It depends on so many things, like the maturity of your category, the maturity of your brand. Does the product itself lend itself to product-led growth? If you look at products like Slack and Dropbox, they were perfect examples of a product selling itself in the early days in a bottoms-up motion. Yeah. But most of us don't have products like that. Most of us don't have the network effect of LinkedIn. You've got to look at the product and the category and the maturity of what's working. And especially for large enterprise deals, I don't think we found a better solution than sales yet. Companies still want to discuss a 7 or 8 figure deal with a real salesperson, get that steak and lobster dinner, open a good bottle of wine, and work out the details. That's still how it works. And so product-led growth or community-led growth is not going to get anyone to sign a 7 or 8 figure check. I haven't seen it happen yet. We might get there at some point.
This is very, very helpful. Thank you so much, Udi. We really appreciate you joining us today and sharing your, you know, valuable thoughts with the community. I'm sure everybody's gonna value
it. Thanks for having me. I hope this was helpful.
And this was very helpful.